Now, your noontime check-in with today's business world and more. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN. Here's Steve Bertrand.
All right, everyone. Thanks for joining us here on the Wintrust Business Lunch on this Tuesday edition. I'm sorry if I sound a little distracted. I'm listening to Spotify in my headphones in my left ear. So I've got a playlist that I've been following. John Najarian actually shared it with me, and I appreciate that. John, welcome to the Business Lunch.
You're very welcome.
All right, so John, the big story, I don't know if it's the big story, but the one that I've been following here in the past 45 minutes or so, watching you on CNBC on the halftime report, is this open for Spotify. And I don't know in the grand scheme of things if it's a huge deal, but they went public in a little different way. The stock looked like it went up right away, and now I see it's dropping a little bit. Tell me about Spotify's day today.
Sure. Well, most of us are pretty familiar with IPOs, or initial public offerings. This was not that. This was Spotify is a Swedish company. They already had given the shares to the insiders as well as investors that had helped them grow to the size that they are, the biggest of all. They're more than double the size of Apple's business, I believe. And what happened with them is they went for a direct listing, which means that all of those shares that they had, they didn't issue anymore. So there wasn't that big surge of, oh, we're going to put up a 40, 50 million share block of stock at a given price, and all the money that is raised by that offering goes to the company. This wasn't that at all. This was just converting from privately traded stock to publicly traded stock without raising any additional money.
So the people who owned, the people who are holding the privately held shares, did they cash those shares out today, or they just were sort of transferred into the public realm?
Just transferred into the public realm. They could, at their discretion, sell at any point. And about, I think it was several billion dollars worth did trade right at that opening price, which was right around $166 a share. But it was not the usual thing that we're used to, like, for instance, Facebook or Twitter. When they go public, the monies that are raised by selling 50 million shares at $20, that money would go to Facebook, and they could spend it as they wish. No money was raised in this offering at all.
So there were some stocks traded, and that's how the price was set, but it's not. It's a minuscule amount, and it goes to the people who held that stock privately.
Yes. Approximately, I think, 5 or 6 million shares traded on the opening out of 177 million that are presently available now for public trading. And prior to this, they were only available privately.
All right. So there's Spotify. And well, what do you think? Is it a good idea or a bad idea? You like the stock Spotify? I mean, do they make a lot of money?
No. And so I don't like them.
Okay.
I think it's a great service. My daughters use it.
I use it, John. I love it.
When they leave it open on my phone, I use it. But I'm not a fan of Pandora, Spotify, for that matter, SiriusXM. I'm not a big fan of any of those because, for the most part, these are not money-making propositions.
It's all about AM radio, John. We know that. We both know that's the truth.
That's right. You got to go with AM radio.
About the same time, President Trump was speaking. It looked like the cabinet room. I'm not sure where he was. He's meeting with Balkan leaders today. And once again, he followed up with tweets this morning, but just about 30 minutes ago, doubled down again on Amazon, taking them on. I'm wondering what your take is. Because as I understand it, Amazon, they do have contracts with the post office, right, that allows for them to move their goods, apparently at a negotiated rate. The president is going after Amazon. You can pick your reason why, but it's being felt on Wall Street. What do you make of that whole thing?
Well, true. The president is going after them because Jeff Bezos owns the Washington Post, and that newspaper is always critical of the president. So it's not surprising that the president, who can be pretty petty at times, goes after Mr. Bezos and is going after him in a very personal and a very public way. I think the issue here is, if indeed the post office is losing money, which we all believe is true, And if by negotiating deals as the post office's biggest customer, Amazon is contributing to those big losses. Some people say Amazon is subsidizing the post office right now, and it wouldn't be
right.
Even losing as little money as it's losing. It would lose much more if they were gone. The president just said, as you were commenting, Stephen, that per package, they're losing $1.40 per package delivered for Amazon. If that is the case, then this is obviously something that isn't subsidizing the post office. It is the opposite. It is the post office and the American people doing, as the president says, subsidizing Amazon. And if that's the case, it must stop.
So while the president is doing all of this very publicly, Amazon is taking a hit. The NASDAQ, you know, the FANG stocks, it took a hit mm-hmm. yesterday. They're recovering a little bit today. People are pushing back their retirement. I mean, you know, they're seeing their investments, whether it's for a college fund or saving in their 401k, they're suffering over this very public spat. Is there policy value in what the president's doing? Or are people just being strung along here?
Well, let's see. So the market right now is approximately 10% from its all-time high. That is, whether it's the NASDAQ or S&P 500 or Dow Jones. They went into that correction territory, broke the 200-day moving average yesterday, have traded back above it today. Nobody is being too badly hurt unless they're a big, big shareholder of right. Amazon or Facebook.
I guess if
Facebook, of course, isn't the president.
If they are pushing the retirement back, it's only because they were able to push it up a few years in the past 3 or 4 years of trading, right? So big picture, it's not a big deal.
It's not a significant market move. And in fact, if indeed that subsidy, as we just discussed, is as large as the president says, I see no reason why Amazon shouldn't pay its fair share. They are a great disruptor and certainly a service that a lot of us use, but it shouldn't be at our expense that we get to use that service. It should be that they pay their freight along the way.
It just struck me, you know, because the president talks about how he's great at striking deals, and it looks like, you know, Amazon looks like struck a pretty good deal with the post office. So now here's the president, the negotiator in chief. He's going to go back in and try to get his own deal. I mean, it's sort of everyone playing to their strength.
Yeah. And in particular, the Defense Department was going to be going on Amazon Cloud. Now, that's the other side of Amazon, their AWS, Amazon Web Services. So that cloud business, that was tens of billions of dollars of business that he can then withdraw from Amazon, which is something that, you know, if he wanted to be punitive, and he certainly threatened it, he could do that. Just one more thing that could hurt Amazon, not just the package delivery that we just discussed.
All right, there's that. What are you looking at today? What are you suggesting?
Well, all of this makes me want to go out and have a drink, Steve. So I was buying Budweiser. That's not the name of the company anymore, but Anheuser-Busch, B-U-D, is still the symbol for the largest brewer in the world, and that's the one we were buying today because big institutions were in there buying it, not because we needed a drink.
John Najarian, it's always a thrill to talk to you. Thanks for talking to us today. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Stephen. Great to talk with you.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch with Steve Bertrand, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN.
And here we are at 1223 on the Wintrust Business Lunch in the Allstate Showcase Studio along Saugee, Michigan Avenue. Good news is the Dow's up 129 points. The bad news is I saw a bride walking down the street under an umbrella going for pictures somewhere. In the studio now is Todd Schultz. He's the CEO of One Hope United. Also, Jenneth Markey, the donor relations officer for One Hope United. Welcome to both of you. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
All right. So, you know, we talk about businesses and how they can build community and the benefit of them, right? And this is a case where businesses are chipping in to help the community and help theirs as well. But let's just start with One Hope United. Todd, what is it that you do?
Oh, One Hope United is a 120-year-old organization where we help kids and families in need here in the state of Illinois and also in Florida. We serve about 9,000 children and families annually and offer a very wide array of programs, everything from helping kids or parents, new parents, mm-hmm. also providing youngsters with early learning opportunities, Head Start programs, kids that otherwise wouldn't have these opportunities, things like that.
9,000 children and families you helped last year.
Yes.
And is that number, is it steady? Is it growing?
It's growing.
It
yes.
is growing.
Yes.
Well, is it growing because you're growing or because the need is growing? I guess
well,
that's
a little
point.
Bit of both yeah. is the answer to that.
And also in the studios is Jenith. And so, Jenith, there's an event here that we talked about, I think, a little bit last year, but the coming up, when does it start?
It actually started April 1st.
Okay. So how's it going?
We're really excited about it.
The name of the program is, I've lost it in front of me, Todd. What do you call it?
Go Blue for OHU.
Sorry about that. And so people can go to restaurants in the area, eat, and then benefit the organization, right? Tell me about that.
Yep, exactly. So it's super easy, fun, and very tasty to take part in our Go Blue campaign. So as you mentioned, you can simply visit one of our participating restaurants and order one of the featured menu items or specialty beverages, and then a portion of the proceeds will be donated back to support One Hope United's child abuse prevention work.
And I think the key is for people to find the restaurant, but then also to be mindful once you're in the restaurant that you've got to pick the right thing to eat, right?
Yes.
The right thing to drink.
Yes, you'll have to. There will be something noted there that's qualifying entree.
And how much did you raise last year?
So last year we raised just under $10,000, and that was with 20 participating restaurants. And this year we're so excited. We've actually doubled that. So
that's
we
great.
Have 40.
And so the financial goal, do you have a goal?
I mean, I'd love to see us double our revenue again this year. We have some really enthusiastic restaurant partners that are helping us spread the word, so I think that we'll get there.
All right, so Todd, we know what's in it for the kids, mm-hmm. the families. We know what's in it for the for people to go and eat, right, and benefit for it by helping other people. Why is this a good thing for businesses to do and to participate in?
Well, first of all, it's just a good thing to do, right? And it shows commitment to the community. It shows commitment to charitable organizations that are doing excellent work here in the state of Illinois. So everyone wins.
It started now, and how long does it go? When does it wrap up?
It goes all month long, so
okay.
you can dine out all throughout April. And I just wanted to add to what Todd said. One of the things that is great for our restaurants is all of the marketing benefits that we're able to provide. So we really like to support our restaurant partners as well.
Yeah, that's a good idea. You're right. So I go to your website and I see all of these restaurants I might not have been thinking of going to anyway, and now I have a chance to. I think it's a good reason to double the number of restaurants next year too, right?
That's what we're going for.
Where do people find more information?
On our website, and that is goblue4ohu.org.
All right, and you wrap up with a big one of your big fundraisers at the end of the...
Yeah, in early May 4th, actually, we are having our gala event, and it's being held at the Hilton Chicago. I would encourage you to get out to these restaurants and get to know us, and then also attend this gala event. It's going to be a great opportunity. We are having two great speakers from the Chicago production of Hamilton. We will have Miguel Cervantes there, and also Ruby Bridges, who is a civil rights icon. You might know she's the little girl that was escorted by federal agents to the public school
wow.
in 1960
really?
In New Orleans. So she's going to be telling her story.
Todd Schultz and Jenith Markey, thanks very much for coming in. Great success. I hope you have a great month.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Now, your noontime check-in with today's business world and more. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN. Here's Steve Bertrand.
It's 12:37 here in the Allstate Showcase studio. Suzanne Muchen is in the studio. She, of course, is the co-host of that great podcast, The Big Payoff, that you can hear at WGNradio.com, iTunes, and elsewhere. Welcome back.
Thanks, Steve. Sometime I'm going to start off by just quizzing you on which was your favorite episode.
The last one I listened to was my favorite one by far.
The most recent.
Okay, so we just had the folks in from talking about the Go Blue 4OHU.org, One Hope United's organization. Yeah. This month is National Child Abuse Prevention Month.
It is.
And so they're using that as a hook to raise money for their charity. Yeah. It's also Sexual Harassment Awareness Month.
I mean, honestly, Steve, who knew?
I did not know that.
Did you? This has been since 2010 that April has been National Sexual Harassment Awareness Month. I'm laughing not at the issue,
well,
but the fact that
we've been going through like National Sexual Harassment
year, yeah, right? But it just leads me to think, first of all, the fact that this current president could do this proclamation is, you know, kind of puts us all in Alice in Wonderland. But the fact that this has been going on for 8 years. And yet we have more sexual harassment in our conversation nationally than ever before leads me to question, do these months work?
I know you don't think that they do. And I kind of agree with you that they don't, the awareness, except, so, you know, again, One Hope United in here, they're using it as a means to raise money for their organization.
That's awesome.
And so I think that's probably how it would work for this.
I guess, although
Breast Cancer Awareness Month, that's been pretty effective in money raising for.
So maybe it is that there's no call to action here. Maybe the problem is that it's hard to imagine that the White House is behind this, making this proclamation, and the rest of us are watching this movie and thinking, get the popcorn.
Yeah.
You know, what do you really want us to do here?
It's going to be a double feature.
Double feature, man.
Okay, let's go from there to, oh, heck, NFL cheerleaders.
We should. It was the perfect segue.
So you pulled the story about NFL cheerleaders and the different things that these women have to go through, or men, I would imagine, too.
Which is now becoming exposed because there was a lawsuit recently last week.
Was it one of the Bengals?
It was.
One of the Cincinnati Bengals.
Bengals.
Is suing the NFL?
Really,
or
the cheerleader whole industry is just ripe for puns. Just ripe for puns. But so that became a trigger point for a whole exposure on what these NFL cheerleaders are subject to. And the New York Times went into a bunch of the agreements that the women have signed. And it's insane.
They have to maintain certain weights.
Within 3 pounds. They cannot get dressed, some of them, in the stadium. They have to wear only dress in street clothes when they leave the stadium.
No, wait. So the Top Cats from Carolina, Top Cats must leave the stadium to change into their personal attire.
Right.
So they have to leave in costume.
Correct. Leave in costume.
That's the one that really bugs me. The others?
A lot of it. The weight thing bothers me, but also, you know, there's all these restrictions on whether or not they can even speak to the players, what they can put on social media. There's just every aspect of their being, body piercings, all that is restricted.
But you understand. That makes sense to me. I mean,
I don't really know what makes sense, to be honest, because on the one hand, fair game. They signed the agreement. No one forced them to.
Right.
On the other hand, if this is the dream for these women and this contract is put in front of them, they're likely going to sign it. And yet it is under any circumstance. Also, they're paid, for the most part, minimum wage. And worse was the story about the fact that they are forced to sell their bathing suit calendars. So they are buying them up front. They have to buy...
You mean like Girl Scout cookies?
Yes.
Oh, that's bad.
They buy them up front for $10 and then sell them for $15 and keep the proceeds. I mean, it just sounds, you know...
I don't like any of it, but my point is they're signing up for it. And what they're signing up for is a job to be a sexy girl jumping up and down. That's what the job is.
I agree.
It's not like they're flight attendants.
I agree with that. 100% agree, and this is no one's forcing them to. I would say that any contract in this day and age that still includes some of these conditions should at least be questioned by ownership. And the NFL in general, that has not had the best track record.
With women,
with domestic violence, concussions, not good.
Roseanne Bonzo, right? 18 million
craziness.
People. The next day, they signed her up to a second season.
21 million people, I think, at last count.
Oh, that's because they counted the plus one, right? The people who watched
right.
online
yes.
afterward, which is, you know, good for them, I guess.
Good. Look, it is a fascinating...
Showing off the year 20, more than 20 years ago?
21 years ago, the entire cast is back. It takes place in Illinois. And the thing I think they're getting right is the fact that they're trying to portray real-life America in a day and age when people don't agree with each other within a family and trying to show what that actually looks like. I give them credit for doing it. I don't think that the show is only for Trump supporters, as Trump was suggesting the other day.
Well, that's kind of what they did back when they... I don't know. I know I watched it. I don't know when I watched it. watched it. If it was like it on
was
Channel 9 or
something.
Working
class right. America was supposed to be the portrayal.
Right. Funny how our TV habits have changed, because I would never watch a sitcom in syndication now like
right.
I did then.
Exactly.
Too many other things to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. So working class, let's see how it goes. Now, the second round is tonight, right?
Second is tonight.
Big challenge.
A huge challenge.
For them, Roseanne. That's Suzanne Muschen, the co-host of the Big Payoff podcast. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you, Steve.
You know what time it is now?
What time?
It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute.
This is the Wintrust Business Minute.
Got a minute? Good, because I've got the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing the news, providing input, and breaking down the stories that matter to the world of business. Opening up an art gallery on the Mag Mile doesn't seem like the most profitable venture, but if you're Peter Lick and can sell one photograph for $6.5 million, then you can probably take the chance. This May, the Lick Gallery is taking advantage of Michigan Avenue's heavy foot traffic, right across from Tribune Tower, to showcase some of his most iconic photos of landscapes from around the world. You know what they say, location, location, location. And that continues to be true for Fulton Market, which is one of the hottest spots in the city. And a New York-based real estate investor, Thor Equities, just invested $12.3 million into the neighborhood. They confirmed the purchase of the 26,000-square-foot warehouse that holds the iconic Fulton Market sign. Who knows what'll shake up our trendy neighborhood next? Tune in tomorrow for all of your up-to-date business news on WGN Radio.
Back to Steve Bertrand and the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN.
Oh, it's a beautiful April day here in Chicago, about 33 degrees and rain, snow tonight. That makes me think of moving. We're coming up on the big moving time for the Chicago area. I think generally the big apartment move in the city is in May. And just in time for that, Bellhops is moving into the city. You know about Bellhops? They are changing, perhaps, the way people move. The CEO is Luke Marklin, and he is on a phone line now. Luke, welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch.
Hi, Steve. Thanks for having me.
All right. So do I pick up a little Southern accent there from you?
We are based in Chattanooga, Tennessee, so you are picking that up quite well.
I like the story of the company, though. A couple of guys at Auburn or outside Auburn decided to help students move, and from that they formed this business, right, a moving company called Bellhops.
Yeah, originally, the business was focused heavily on college moving. And it was the idea was to do this as a summer job, but as feedback started to come in from customers, Bellhops started to realize as a business that this industry is got an opportunity here. There's an opportunity to make it better for a lot of people, and our reviews were telling us that customers loved the product we were putting out there. And we decided from that point to really start building it and investing in it and scaling it. And we're excited to say that story is coming full swing, and we're rapidly expanding and happy to be moving into Chicago.
It's kind of a story of where a good idea happens at the perfect time. And here we are moving toward this gig economy where it is stronger than ever. Bellhops is a gig economy career, right? Explain for me, we'll talk about the customer side first, but explain for me how the people who work for Bellhops will work for Bellhops in Chicago.
Absolutely. Yeah, we have been part of that wave of the Uber of, or the gig economy. And we really embraced that business model because we felt like it would unlock a lot of efficiencies in the industry, but also produce a really good opportunity for our bellhops. And so bellhops that we target, these are special folks. These are people who are college educated, typically college educated, who are looking for an opportunity either full-time or part-time while they are pursuing their education or are advancing their career in some other way, to come onto our platform. It's a pretty straightforward process, and we are targeting people who have just a desire to serve and have a hospitality mindset. And you can come on the platform. It's flexible. You work when and where you want. And the pay is actually really good. Most gig economy jobs are a lot less, and our bellhops typically earn around $21 an hour, if not more.
And that's that compares to Uber how? I mean, is that twice as much as Uber?
you know, I don't know the specifics for Uber in Chicago, but it beats it by a pretty healthy margin, would imagine.
This is the idea, then, is you sign up, you get accepted, and then when you get accepted, you list the hours you're available or when you want to work, and Bellhops hooks you up with the moving jobs to be done at that time, on that day, correct?
Bingo. You could maybe come work for us. You seem to know the model quite well.
You're right. No, I can listen, Luke, I can speak, but you can run a business. So let's just keep it there. And you come from Uber in Atlanta, right? So tell me about scaling up Bellhops when you witnessed Uber grow as well in Atlanta and around the country. What are the comparisons there?
Yep. Came from Uber. Playbook, very, very similar. And a lot of what we are trying to do is build a platform through technology that produces a better customer experience. So, you know, at Uber, it was really about building a platform that can, you know, efficiently at scale connect you to the nearest vehicle and do that better than your other alternatives. And what we're doing here at Bellhops is in many ways building the same thing, but customized for the moving industry.
All right.
And so now our platform allows customers to book instantly, and you don't have to talk to somebody on the phone or hope and pray that someone will call you back. And you can see the price right there in plain English, right before you book.
So if I've got a, does it have to be a whole apartment or a whole house, or maybe I've just got a desk I want to move? Does Bellhops come and take care of that?
We run the full spectrum. Okay. We can do your, you know, 4 or 5 bedroom home. We can do your 1 bedroom apartment, and we can either not show up with the truck, and we can help move some furniture around your house. We are able to help people in a lot of different ways, and people know us for our service and for our culture, and so we can fill a lot of the opportunities within the moving space.
All right, so we've got two things going on here. You're looking for bellhops to do the work, maybe a couple of hundred, and I'm sure you're always looking for clients as well to hire those bellhops. So where do people find more information?
Absolutely. Then come to our website at getbellhops.com. We have all of the information that you would need right there, and you can within minutes get a moving quote, and within seconds get a confirmation of the time that you would like to move. So it's all right there, a one-stop shop.
Luke Markland, the CEO of Bellhop. Hey, great to talk to you. Welcome to Chicago. I wish you big success.
Steve, happy to be here. Thank you so much for hosting us.